Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Samach Zayin. We will begin on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah teaches us Mi'ikir Yerushalayim, from the special people who lived in Yerushalayim, Hoy Malavanai Soi, they would escort the Shiti, the person who we spoke about in our previous shiur, the person who had the role of carrying, of escorting this animal, the Sol Azazel, to the mountain where it's going to be thrown down. So these special people would escort him. So the question, of course, is why did we need to have special people be those who escorted this Ishiti? So I saw the Pasha Pshat is that to show honor to every mitzvah, particularly a mitzvah that one could assume is not really so important, or actually represents Lazozel. There was a thought that the whole point of sending the Sol Lazozel was just to try to get to the Yetzer Hara. So maybe that's a mitzvah that won't be so significant. So that's why they deliberately had special people be the ones to escort it. Another point that some Achronim suggest, that not only did they have people escort, but they had quite a group of people escort the person who was taking the Sol Lazozel. From the Rambam it seems that it wasn't that many person, but it was just one person. And then I saw other Achronim suggest the reason he was escorted was because that they didn't want him to be concerned. He's going to the Azazel. It's a distant, desolate area, so they didn't want him to be scared as he's walking around. But then I saw a beautiful pshat. Let's think about these individuals who we're speaking about now, these Yekira Yushalayim. They had an option. They could have been in the Beis HaMikdash, participating in this incredible avodah, the once a year avodah that we've been learning so much about, of Yom Kippur. And instead of spending the day of Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash with that incredible experience, they were more concerned to travel with somebody else. That shows a very, very important type of behavior, to be worried about somebody else more to worry about themselves. And that's why they are called Yakire Yerushalayim, the special people of Yerushalayim. So they traveled at Sukkah Rishayna. These people traveled to the Sukkah Rishayna. Esa Sukkah, says the Mishnah, they put up 10 huts, Yerushalayim at Latzuk, from Yerushalayim until the cliff where they threw down this Tzol Azazel. Tishim Ris, the distance from Yerushalayim to this mountain was 90 ris. The Shiva Machza ris in Lekom Mil. So there was 7.5 risin between each of these huts. That means there was a total of 2,000 amma between each hut. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, they had to pay attention to not walk out of the Tchum on Shabbos. So that's why they had to build, as we'll discuss in the Gemara much more in a moment, that they had to keep the distance only a certain amount between the huts, because certainly the people who were traveling along cannot travel outside of the Tchum. And because they could not travel outside of the Tchum, they had to be very careful to make sure that they arrive, that they would never travel past the Tchum. And there were people in every one of these huts being there to make sure that take over till where the first person could walk, the next person will take over. Moreover, the Rishash makes the point that the mountain was within 12 mil of the Azara. Because as we learned Masechta Erevin, and we spoke about the Isser of going out of the Tchum on Shabbos, we spoke about that there's a difference between the Tchum of 12 mil and the Tchum of Alpayim Amma. That although, when we spoke about Hilchas Tchumim, We said that the Isser of Tchum is 2,000 Amah, but many opinions are that that Isser is only Isser the Rabbanah. But once it's 12 mil, then we're dealing with already with a Deraisa. So we kept it, and then the person who would be carrying this animal would be walking past the Tchum Deraisa. However, there are other Achroinim suggest that it was specifically outside of the Tchum of 12 mil, because that's part of taking the Sol Azazel far away. And the definition of far away was that it should be outside of the Tchum of Tchum Deraisa. Obviously, he was allowed to walk that far because that's what the halacha allows under such situation. Continues the Mishnah. I call sukkah sukkah. As this ishiti, as this person arrived at every hut, they would tell him, "Hare mazon, hare mayim, here's food and drink if you need to have." And here too, there's a very big machloikus how to learn the Gemara, how to learn this Mishnah. Rashi, which is very much in line with the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, is that they offered him to eat and drink, because like that, if they offer him to eat and drink, as the Gemara calls it, pas saloi, he'll be less interested in eating and drinking. But not that he would be allowed to eat and drink. The Rambam disagrees that just like we learned yesterday, that tzarech Shabbos, the tzarech tumah, the halacha is the ish iti, is allowed to do what he has to do. Here too, if he's weak, then the halacha is that he's allowed to eat and drink. And so too is the opinion of the Tosfos Rishonim. And it seems that according to these Rishonim, not only is he allowed to eat and drink if he's in a serious state of weakness, but even if he doesn't feel up to being able to complete his job, then the halacha is that he can eat and drink. Tosfos HaRosh disagrees. And the way the Teres Yisrael explains the opinion of the Rambam and the Tosfos Rishonim is because just like we learned, Ish Iti Afil B'Shabbos Afil B'Tumah, that is included in that Heter. And people would escort him, Misukah L'Sukah, from one hut to another hut, Chutz Me'achon Shebehem, until he got to the last hut, She'enim Agiyim L'Tzuk. The people who were escorting him that were in the last hut did not arrive all the way to the cliff. El oimed merachoik v'mrayis masav. Since the last hut was 2 milen away from the mountain, so they can't go all the way, because as we learned on Shabbos, you're only allowed to travel a mil. And even if we're discussing the person who's taking the animal, that he maybe could go further, that doesn't apply to anybody who is escorting him. So Rashi explains that we didn't make another hut that we should be able to take him all the way, because the problem would be that the animal is supposed to be taken to an Eretz Gezeira, an uninhabited place. If you're going to have people escorting him, then it's not an Eretz Gezeira. Another pshat, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Tosfos Rishonim explains that they were very anxious that nobody should see how the thread around the neck and around the head of this animal turns white, and that's why they didn't want to have anybody there. Another pshat is that the Torah, the Siach Yitzchak suggests, the Torah specifies that only one person should escort him. If we're going to have more people escorting him, that's not what the Torah wants to say. And another pshat I saw is because the whole point of sending him only with one person is that unlike the Sol Hashem, which is a carbon brought on the Mizbeach, the Sol HaZazel does represent the Averis. And we don't want to show too much respect and too much covet to Averis. And that's why they didn't have many people going along. So if that's the case, What's Pshat in the Mishnah when it said Oymid, when it says Oymid Merocha Kedei Liris is massive, that they stand from a distance to see what's going on. So the Sikh Yitzchok explains that we wanted to make sure that this Mishaleach, this person, is doing his job properly. Another Pshat is, particularly, as many Rishonim suggest, that the person who they assigned this position to was not necessarily a very chashva person. And therefore, we wanted to make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Another Pshat is that we've mentioned many times, when somebody brings a carbon, he was supposed to be there as his carbon is being brought. So the way normally we spoke about the owner of a carbon standing there, we've spoken about the people, the Anshei Mamed, the people who were assigned to stand as the carbon was being brought. The people who were escorting this Ish'iti represent Klal Yisrael, who own this carbon, so to speak, and are the representatives standing there as the carbon is being offered. Mala Yaisa, what would the person who was taking this animal do? Says the Mishnah, Choyl Kloshin Shazahurus, he would take a red string and divide it in two. Chetz Yikosh B'Sela, half he would tie to the rack that was there, V'chatzia Kosher Ben Shayin Karnav, and the other half he would tie around the horns of this animal, Dochvei L'Acharav, and then he would push the animal down the mountain on its back, V'meskal G'v'yorid, and that's how the animal would roll down, V'lei Megil L'Chatzia Har, and it wouldn't reach half the mountain, Achinas Evarim Evarim, until it broke up into pieces. So the question is that, how were they able to carry this animal with the red thread around the neck? There's an iser of chutz l'tchum, there's an iser of mechamer. So Tosfos Yishonim asked this question. Tosfos gives two answers. He says, it could be that this red thread was not brought on Yom Kippur, that this red thread was there from before Yom Kippur. Another pshat that he suggests, that they didn't carry the thread was put around the neck of the animal. And that's not the way thread is normally carried. So it turns out that it's mechamer. The Isser mechamer is to lead an animal as it is carrying something. But the Isser deraisa is only when you're leading the animal when it's carrying something in the normal way of carrying. And that's why it's not considered mechamer. So Kivayevga asks, that even if we'll say it's Mechamer Kalach Yad, why was it mutter to be done? So first he goes into a discussion, is there an Issa Mechamer on Yom Kippur? Is there only an Issa Mechamer all year round? And at the end he says, it seems that it maybe only applies on Shabbos. Another pshat that the Menches Chinuch wants to suggest, but he says from the discussion that we see in the Rishonim, we see it's not that way. The Menches Chinuch wants to say that the Issa Mechamer only applies in an animal that belongs to me. This animal did not belong to the person who was walking with it, and maybe there's no Issa Mechamer. But Menches Chinuch says just the opposite. From the fact that there's such a significant discussion here about the Issa Mechamer, it's an indication that the Issa Mechamer applies even by animals that I don't own. So the other question that the Paiskim discussed, the Mefarshim discussed, is how could they tie the string around the horn of the animal around the stone? Isn't that Kshira, which tying, making a knot, is Osir on Yom Kippur? So the first tarets that many Achroinim give is that this is not, they didn't make a knot, they only made a bow, and making a bow is not considered a Maisa Kshira. But the Mefarshim ask that, as we learned the Masechta Shabbos, that there are many that Tanoim that hold that even Aniva, even making a bow on Shabbos Nyantiv is Asur. So the Maril Diskin, Shulayim Diskin explains that when you make a knot, and you don't need the knot to remain for a long time. To explain this better, the only knot that's awesome with the Raisa is a kasha shokayama. And even if we take the strictest view of the achroi of the poiskim, that kasha shokayama means that you're going to have the knot for 24 hours, and the knot that they put around the neck and string and stone here is a knot that's going to remain forever, even if it's a neck. Even if it's a knot that's going to be remain forever, it's not a knot that I need forever. The person who's making the knot because he only needs to make it for that moment. And he doesn't need it to remain there forever. So in a case where you make a knot, where even if it will remain forever, it's not what you really need, that isn't considered a kesher shakayama. And based on this, I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shas HaTshuvos Mincha Shlomo Tanyana, Chelik, Simon Beis, and Simon Gimel discussed that there's a question that many people ask regarding putting on the tape on diapers, on pampers that they put on their babies on Shabbos. And when they take the diaper off, they don't necessarily open it up. It may be impossible to open it up without tearing. So why, when you put those tapes on the diaper, isn't considered kesher? You're making it in a way that's going to remain there forever. So explain, Rav Shlomo Zalman, that Rav Shul Leib said that even if I make something that's going to last for more than 24 hours or whatever the amount of time is, that it should be considered a kesher shakayama, but I have no need for it for that long amount of time, that it's not considered a kesher shakayama. So similarly, over here, since I don't need it to be there for such a long amount of time, it's not considered in the category of a kesher shakayama, and that's why it could be taped on Shabbos and Yom Tov when one is putting the diapers on their children. Another pshat that I saw the Paiskim suggest, that they didn't make it in a professional way, and the only type of knot that is also on Shabbos and Yom Tov is a Maisa Uman. This is not considered a Maisa Uman. So then I saw the Echroina mask, but when he takes this string and he divides it into two, so why is that not considered a Maisa Mechatech? Mechatech is one of the Melachos. So the Paiskim suggests that the Isser of Mechatech is only when you tear it to a certain specific size. We don't find here there was a specific size, how much each part of the string has to be divided into, and that's why it's not considered mechatech. But then they ask, it may not be mechatech, but it should be considered kriya, tearing, and tearing doesn't require a certain size. So they answer that, as we've discussed many times, the melacha of kriya, any melacha on Shabbos is only melechas machshavos. And the definition of a melechas machshavos is something that's done in a constructive manner. Here we're ripping and tearing the string not in a constructive manner, so that's why Midaraisa it's not considered a melechas kriya. So our Mishnah said that they would throw this animal down backwards from the mountain, and then when it was ripped into pieces, the shliach finished his job. It's interesting, in the Atakananta version of the Avodah that's said by Musaf on Yom Kippur, at that point it says there that the mishalech would say, Kach yimachu avoinus amcha beis Yisrael. That it was a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some explain it was a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that now that we finished the avoidah of the Sol HaZazel, we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all of our avarus should be wiped out, they should be forgiven. Others say, Kach Yimachu is going on the Yetzahara. Just like the Sol HaZazel, as we mentioned a little earlier, is a representation of the Yetzahara. What the Shliach is saying, that Klal Yisrael is leaving the Yetzirah. Klal Yisrael doesn't want to have anything to do with the Yetzirah anymore, and because Klal Yisrael doesn't want to have anything to do with the Yetzirah, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, we acted this way, please be Meichel all of Avinus. So here it says that the animal was completely dead before it got down half the mountain. So I sort of the Sefer She'eres Yisrael explains what does this mean, that the Gemara, the Medrash says, Chazal teach us, Ein Adam Meis V'Chatzi Tavas V'Yodai. A person, nobody dies with even half of what he wanted to have. So here we say, as we just said, the Sol HaZazel represents the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara tries to entice us to want to have all sorts of Olam Hazeh. And we say now on Yom Kippur that it doesn't make a difference. Nobody gets what he wants anyway. It's so much more important that we live a life of meaning. The person now goes back, this Mishaleich goes back and he sits by the last booth, until it's Shabbos. So, as Rashi explains, normally a person who walks out of his tchum is not allowed to go back in past it. Here we allowed him because he's a person that traveled, as we learned, and we're going to learn in a moment in the Gemara, such a very large distance. And therefore, we allowed him to go back, even though it involves going out of his tchum. And as the Rishonim explained, and we mentioned this earlier, that the Issa Tchum, there is no Issa Daraisa Tchum here. He's not walking back 12 mil. And when you're not walking a Tchum Daraisa, we're being more Makel. And the Gvur Sari wants to differentiate between if it's just Yom Kippur, where the Halachas Tchum are more lenient, versus if it's also Shabbos, where there we maybe would have to be more machmer. The Torah says, "V'mishaleich hasasol azazol yichabes begodov." So now the question asked the Mishnah: he has an obligation, his begodim become tamei, and the question is at what point, and he has to wash them. And the question is at what point does that happen? Meim semetam begodim. At what point do his clothing become tamei? Tanaka holds mishiyase chutz Yerushalayim as soon as he leaves Yerushalayim. Rav Shimon Omer, Mishas Techios Lotzuk, when it's thrown down the mountain. The Rambam holds that this is a full-fledged tumah, and just like every tumah, you have to wash it, and then put it in the mikvah, and have Harif Shemesh. Devin Ezra disagrees, and Devin Ezra says that there is no requirement here of Harif Shemesh. As soon as it's put into the mikvah, it's enough. Moreover, the Rambam's opinion is that not only the begodim that the Mishaleich was wearing become tamei, but the opinion of the Rambam is that anything that came in contact with the Sol HaZazel becomes tamei. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says that it only the begodim that he wore are become tamei. And the Ramban explains, why is there this tumma? Where does the tumma come from? That the person has to wash his clothing, that he becomes tamei. So the Ramban explains that the whole purpose of the avoid of the Azazel, as we keep on repeating, the Azazel represents the avoid the Zorah, Yetzirah, and of course Yetzirah represents tumma. So the way we represent that is by saying that the begodim that he wore all become tamei, and because the begodim that he wore become tamei, we show that this whole avoda are as tamei. So the Meshech Chachma says an interesting thing. He says that anything that begins, that the avoda begins inside the Beis HaMikdash, but ends outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the Torah says you become tamei. So that's why he says the paradumah, even though the paradumah wasn't really done in the Azorah, but the Meshech Chachma explains it began keneged. It was done facing the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, when it's taken out, it creates tumah. Something that never started inside the Yetzer Hara, inside the Beis HaMikdash, there is no special rule of tumah. So as we said, the Gemara begins to discuss these huts that they had as these Ish-Iti went all the way to the mountain. There were 10 sukkahs from Yerushalayim until this mountain, and after every meal they made a sukkah, and the final sukkah to the mountain had a distance of 2 milim. Divrei Meir. Yehuda Imitesha Sukkos, there were 9 Sukkos for Sarah Moilin from Yerushalayim to the mountain. He says, after the way he learns, after every meal there was a Sukkah, and from the last Sukkah to the Tzuk, there was only 1 meal. And according to Yehuda, unlike what we learned in the Mishnah, the people who escorted him from the last, escorted this person from the last hut to the mountain, escorted him all the way. He says there were 5 sukkahs, 5 huts, and then 10 milen. Because he holds that after every 2 mil, there was a hut. The kulan, and all these people were able to travel a day erev. As we learned in Masechta Erevin, a person, we said it earlier in our shir, on Shabbos you could walk 2,000 amah, 1 mil, from where you were kind of shvisa, from where you took residence on Shabbos. But we also learned you could make an Erev Tchumim. And what Erev Tchumim was, that if you put food down on Erev Shabbos, or here it's Erev Yom Kippur, 2,000 amah away from where you are, so that makes that's the spot that you're kind of shvisa. And it gives you another 2,000 amah in that direction. As we always explain, it takes away anything in the opposite direction. So what happened here was, the people who were in the first hut put a Erev a mil away from that hut, and that's why they were allowed to walk another mil in that direction. So in total, they were able to escort this person for 2 mil. And so too, it kept on going until the people of the last hut, they didn't have to make an Erev, because the distance from their hut to the mountain was only 1 mil. So according to Rabbi Yossi, we have a number of differences than what we've learned till now. First of all, according to Rabbi Yossi, they used the Erev Tchumim extensively to be able to walk more and escort him more on Yom Kippur. According to Rabbi Yossi also, the only one that didn't make an Erev were the people in the last hut. And according to Rabbi Yossi, like we explained when we learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, unlike what we learned in the Mishnah, the people of the last hut escorted this person all the way to the mountain. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Sochli Alozah Benitzah. Rabbi Yossi says, my son Alozah told me that if the Rabbi Yossi is correct, that they were relying on Erev, Imali Dei Erev, Yecholni Lassus Afil Shtei Sukkos V'Sar Milan. If that's the way we're going to learn, if we're going to learn the Mishnah, that you could rely on the Erev Tchumim, then we don't even have to have that many. We could have 2 huts and 10 milen, and it will work. And the way to understand is like this. We count 4 milen from Yerushalayim to the first hut. And then we have another 4 milen from that hut to the next hut. And then we have 2 mil from the second hut until the mountain. And the way it would work is as follows. The people who lived in Yerushalayim will make an Erev in the direction that they're walking, a mil away. So like that, they could escort him for a total of 2 mil. The people of the first hut would make an Erev in the direction that the people of Yerushalayim, or the people who left Yerushalayim, and they could walk there for 2 mil, pick him up, and walk all that way. And therefore, they'll be able to get to the first sukkah. So we have a total of 4 mil till we got to the first sukkah. The same will be done from the second sukkah. The first group of people going from the first sukkah in the direction of the mountain will make an Erev Tchumim in that direction, a mil away. So they can walk 2 mil. And the people from the second sukkah will make an Erev in the direction of the people who are coming towards them. So they'll be able to walk 2 mil. And then they'll make a sukkah. From the second sukkah until the tzuk will make an Erev a mil away. And therefore they can walk 2 mil in that direction. Says the Gemara, Kaman Azlahad Tanya, whose opinion is being followed in this brisa that said, that the people from the last hut were not able to walk all the way with this person. They would stand from far away and see what was going on. Says the Gemara, Kamakra Rameyer, because as we explained, Rameyer and our Mishnah held that the people did not get there all the way. Whereas the other two Tanaim that we just learned, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi, not only do they have a very different interpretation of what happened, but they're also explaining that they did walk this person all the way till the mountain. We learned in the Mishnah, a kol sukkah v'sukkah omrim lo, as this person came to every one of these huts, they told him, harei mazon, harei mayim, he have food and drink. Tana says the brayso ma'olam lo hutzuch adam lakach, they never needed that he should eat or drink. We can't compare somebody who has it available by telling him that it's available. We make him feel good, and then once he knows he has it available, he doesn't need it at all. Says the Mishnah further, Maya, so what did they do? Choylik loshen shazahuris. So we asked the Gemara, Nikshre kula besela. We learned that half was on the animal and half was on the stone. So asked the Gemara, why do we need any of it on the animal? Answers the Gemara, Kima the mitzvah besor. We have to throw this animal down the mountain. As the Pasuk says, V'nosa ha'asor olav ha'skola v'noisom el eretz gzeira. And gzeira, we learn, means that the animal should be completely ripped into pieces. We're concerned that what's most important to people is that the red thread should get white. And once the red thread gets white, they'll be satisfied and they won't do anything more. And that's wrong. Dilma Kodama Malbin, we need to be concerned that maybe the red thread turns white and he'll be satisfied and he won't do what he's supposed to do. And since the main mitzvah, as we just explained, is to throw the animal down the mountain, that's why we should make sure that that is done first. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Just the opposite. V'nikterei kulei ben kronov. So let's tie it completely around the animal. Why do we put it on the stone? Answers the Gemara. Zimna notus le reishe. Sometimes the animal will twist its head into a position that we can't see what's going on with the animal. V'lava datei. And of course, we want to be able to see that hopefully the red thread turned white. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan b'Rishayna, Hayikashin Loshen Shazahuris, Apesach Ulam B'Chutz. At the beginning, what they used to do was put up this red thread outside the base of Migdash. Hilbin, and if it got white, Hayisib Smechem, they were all very happy, because that was a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meichel Averis. Loy Hilbin, and if it didn't get white, Hayat Seven, they were very sad, or mispaishin, and they were embarrassed that they didn't have the schus, that their red thread turned white. Hiskinu, so they instituted sheikoshim apesach ulam b'fnim, that they should tie it inside the base of Mikdash. V'dayin hayim etzitzim v'royin. People would be so anxious to see if it turned white, they would look into the base of Mikdash. Hilbin ayu smechem, if it turned white, they were happy. Lo yilbin ayu tsevev, ayu at tsevin. Skinu shekosh na yisoy, chetzi b'selv, chetzi b'kronov, it won't be so noticeable. The Yushalmi has a very interesting opinion. He says originally what they would do was, every person would tie a red thread on their window. And the people who were zaycha to do tshuva properly, their red threads turned white. And the other people, the red threads did not turn white. And those people were very embarrassed. And that's why they changed it. There should only be one thread for all of Klal Yisrael. So what's pshat that they were upset? So I saw the Sefer Shoshana Modavid explains, if it didn't turn white, it's obviously that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending a message to them that it's not supposed to turn white. So why are they so upset? So he explains that, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that this message should be delivered. If it doesn't turn white, they need to know that they need to do better. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that they should be upset on Yom Kippur. It's enough that they let them know on after Yom Kippur, and that's why they did it in a way that the people weren't informed until after Yom Kippur. Another pshat that the Karban Adar suggests is that even if they need to get the message that they need to do better, it shouldn't be done in such in a public way. And if it's going to be done in a public way, people will be embarrassed. Darul Chaner says another pshat. He says that when one davens, Ivdus Hashem b'simcha, when we daven, we're supposed to daven out of simcha. If the red thread, what are we supposed to do on Yom Kippur? As we all know, on Yom Kippur we're supposed to daven. But if the red thread doesn't turn white and they'll be despondent, they won't be able to daven properly. And we don't want that to happen on Yom Kippur. Another pshat that the Tosfos Shanim also says that, as we just learned, the red thread could turn white even though the animal wasn't thrown down the mountain. The halach, it always turned white only very close to when it was thrown down the mountain. Because the mitzvah, as we keep on learning, is not fulfilled until the animal is thrown down the mountain. So it's critical that the animal should be thrown down the mountain for the proper fulfillment of the mitzvah. So I saw that the Sefer Yisrach Moshe explains, how could it be that, his question is, how could it be that it didn't turn white? We know, we're going to be still learning in our Masechta, that Yom Kippur has such incredible power that Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur itself, has the ability to bring Mechila to Klal Yisrael. So if that's the power of Yom Kippur, of course the red thread is going to turn white. So he says there are two ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with our Averus. One is if he forgives us for doing an Averus. And furthermore, a person, explains this Machmaisha, who does an Avera, he becomes a different person. He's like a Balmum. He's a person who needs a refuah. So yes, Yom Kippur can cause mechil v'slicha on all our averus, but it can't make us be different people unless we did tshuva. And that was the message of the red thread. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechil our averus, but we want so much more from Yom Kippur. We want that Yom Kippur should be a day where we are different people. And that doesn't necessarily automatically happen. If the red thread turned white, that was a sign that we became a better person. And I saw that the Bava Rebbe explains, that's pshat when the Pasuk says, K'v'yoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem. The Pasuk says, K'v'yoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem, which means, as we just said, Yom Kippur has the ability to bring kapara. But the other thing Yom Kippur has also the ability to do is letar eschem mikol chataseichem. That we become letar eschem, we become tor, we become different people, we become balei tshuva. So I saw that the Mojit Rebbe says, so in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, we just learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, the red thread turned white, and that was a simon that we did, that was a sign that we did tshuva. Bezman hazeh, he says, we don't have that red thread. So how do we know that somebody, in fact, succeeded to doing tshuva properly on Yom Kippur? So he says, the way you know that you did tshuva properly on Yom Kippur is you're not interested in doing averus anymore. That taiva to do averus goes away from you. That is a raya that you're not interested in doing, that you're not interested in doing averus anymore. Amram Nachman Papa Mishimra Blaza Kfar. Brishoina Hayikosh Loshin Zahuris Apesach Ha'ulim Befnim. Originally they would put this red thread inside the base of Migdash. Vekivin Shigir saw the Medbar Hayamed album. As soon as it got to the Midbar, it would turn white. Vyadu Shinas Mitzvah. And everybody who was still by the base of Migdash would know that the mitzvah of the Tsar was fulfilled. Shinemar Im Yuchatechim Kishonah Kishel Yabim. We learned in the Mishnah Layagia Lechat Machzahar. This animal didn't get to half the mountain, and it was decapitated and broken up all into pieces. Ibailu, Oisnaver Evorim, those parts of the animal, Mahim Bano, may one have benefit from them. Rav Shmuel, says the Gemara, it's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omer, one man Domer holds Mutarim, Chad Omer is Surim, that one says it's Mutim, one says it's Surim. Man Domer Mutarim, the one that says you can have benefit, Meshim Deksiv, the Pasuk says, the Shilach es Asar b'Midbar. So we already know that it's sent to to Midbar to teach us that it's like the Midbar. A Midbar is a place of Hefker. Anybody could benefit from the Midbar. So too may anybody benefit from this these pieces of the animal. Manda Mesurin, the Ksiv, Nosa Asar Elav Askola Venosam, Alaris Gzeira. Gzeira means something very tough, that you're not allowed to have Hano from it under any purposes. Ask the Gemara, Mandama Esurin, and the Mandama that says that there are Sir High Midbar Mayavadle, what does he do with the word Midbar? Answers the Gemara, Mibayle Elchretanya. The Torah says three different times that you have to send the Sir Lazazel to the Midbar. The Torah once says, L'shalach Oisoi Lazazel HaMidbaro. The Torah says, V'shilach B'yad Ish Iti HaMidbaro. The Torah says, V'shalach Asasir B'Midbar. The Rabbi used to teach us, Noi V'givoyim. That was the first place that the Mishkan was when they arrived in Etzisol, the first two places. Shiloi or Beis Elohim. So when Klai Yisrael came into Etzisol, they first put up the Mishkan in Gilgal. It was there for 14 years. And then when they finished conquering and dividing up Etzisrael, and for those 14 years, bombers were mutter. At that point, they came to Shiloh, and they made a structure out of stone walls. The walls were stone, but the roof was made out of material. And the Mishkan was there for 369 years. During those 369 years, one cannot bring any carbon on a bomber. Then in the time of Eli, Shiloh was destroyed. That was the time that the Aron was captured by the Plishtim. And they came to Noiv, and they built a Mishkan there. Then when Shaul destroyed that Mishkan, they came to Givoy, and there, and that's where the Mishkan was until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash in Shalayim. Here, we're learning that there were four places where this halacha applies. Shiloh, Noiv, Givon, and Beis Elohim. But we only have, the Torah says, the word Midbar three times. So the Gvura Sari explains that Noiv and Givon are considered one, because they were very similar in structure, they were very similar in halacha. Shiloh, as we said, had stone walls. The Noiv and Givon did not have stone walls. And that's why we have three separate categories. We have Shiloh that had stone walls, but not a firm roof. We have Noiv and Givon that didn't have not stone walls and certainly not a firm roof. And then, we have the Beis HaMikdash, which is extremely sturdy and firm. Vidach, asked the man the Amid that holds that it was mutter to have Hano from the animal as it's broken into pieces. Hai gzeira may avadlei. What does he do with the pasuk gzeira? Answers the Gemara mebayle elchatanya. Gzeira and gzeira elchatucha. That the animal, that the mountain on which the animal was thrown down for was a very sharp animal. And that's why the animal will be able to be broken into pieces. Another pshat is we're not talking about the mountain. We're talking about the animal. And as we've been discussing, the animal has to be broken into pieces. That the animal has to be broken into pieces and rolled down the mountain. Maybe we'll look at this entire procedure as something unnecessary. Tamaloimer, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem Gzartiv. The halacha that we have to do everything we've been describing about the Sar La'azazel is something that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein l'cha reshus lahar achreim, and we can't ask any questions even though we don't really understand this entire procedure. Amarava, Mestabri Kamanda Amar Matarim. It makes more sense to hold that you're allowed to have Hanoh from these pieces, because halach is that if you find pieces you may have anah from it. Now, if you find pieces of an animal, the pieces that you find may be pieces of the sar la'azazel. And if the halach is that the sar la'azazel is also b'hanah, how could the Torah bring us to a situation where we may have benefit from something we're not allowed to have benefit from? It must be that you're allowed to have benefit. Of course, the question is, didn't have a red thread around the head that we could see. So Mefarshim explained, first of all, you may not find the head. You might find another part of the animal. Moreover, the red thread might have fallen off. And that's why it must be that the Torah is telling us that once the mitzvah was done, which is a concept that we've learned earlier in our Masechta, Ein lecha davish nasim mitzvasai, we never have a situation where a mitzvah is done and there's still me'ilah. Once the mitzvah is done, we could do, it's mutter to have a no. Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa continues to speak about azozo, she'oz v'kasha, it should be a very hard, sharp, pointy mountain. Yochel b'yishuv, the mountain, as long as the mountain has these characteristics, it could be anywhere. Tamaloymer b'midbar, it has to be out in the desert. U'menayin she'tzuk, it has to be a mountain that has a sharp incline. Tamaloy megzera, as we explained a moment ago. Tanya idach azazo kasha shebaharim. It was the strongest, tallest, sharpest mountain. V'keno oimer v'seilei ha'aretz lokach, when it describes those mountain, those people. Eilei always represents something strong. Tanya bei shmo azazo. Why? What is the point of the azazo? Mechaper amasa uzav azoil. Uzav azoil were malachim that came to this world and had relations with human beings. And that's for that, we have to bring a kapara. The way I saw the Mefarshim explain this Gemara, that the main Avera for which the soul Azazel is Mechaper for the Avera of Gilui Arayis, and that was the Avera that even Malachim fell through on. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, on Yom Kippur, we have to have a special kapara for those averus. Tanu Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, as Mishpatai Tasu, Dvarim Shemolei Nichtavu, that we have certain halachas in the Torah that even had they not been written, we would have to follow them. Eilein Avodas Kochavim, it's understandable that one is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, one has to be a moral individual. Shvichas Dam, of course, one may not murder anybody. The Gezel, you're not allowed to steal. Or Brichas Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Chai Kaisei Tishmerun, Advarim Shasotin Meishir Aleim, are different things that the Sotin speaks about. Ve'lehein Achilas Chazah, we're not allowed to eat pork. Levisha Shatnes, we're not allowed to wear Shatnes. Chalitzis Yevama, normally, one may never have relations with a sister-in-law, but we know if somebody's brother, Rechman al-Islam, dies without any children, so then you're supposed to marry Yevama. The whole situation of Tara Metzora, the procedure for Metzora becoming Tar, the Sara Mishtaleach that we've been discussing in our Shir, Rishem Atamim Masa Tohem, if one would suggest that these are acts that are not important, Tamaloyim Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Chikaktiv, you're not allowed to argue on them. So, of course, the question is, why did the Gemara, the Tosfos Rishonim asks, why did the Gemara only mention these chukim? When we learn Parashas Chukos, the Torah speaks about Choik, and the Torah speaks about Parah Aduma. So why isn't that mentioned as one of the chukim? So the Mashah explains that all the chukim that are mentioned here are chukim that are Asr, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a way that sometimes the mutter. The Gemara says that Chazer, of course we're not allowed to eat pig, but if it's, there's a Shibuta, it's a fish that tastes like the Chazer. We're not allowed to wear Shatnes, but we know that sometimes by wearing tzitzis, or the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen in his Big Day Kuna, are wearing Shatnes. So it makes these halachas even more difficult to understand. What we're trying to say is that these halachas are sometimes mutter and sometimes asur. And we're supposed to follow exactly the direction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The Pasuk says, as Mishpatai Tasu. So I saw that the Sfas Emes explains, the Pasuk says, Ve'ele Mishpatai Mishatasum Lefneim. Explains the Sfas Emes, the Gemara just says that the Mishpatim are rules that make sense. And that even if the Torah had not mentioned those rules, we would have to follow those rules. Says the Sfas Emes in explaining this Gemara, that even though what is supposed to be our attitude, that even though we're supposed to follow those rules, even though they make sense, lefneim, but we're supposed, when we follow those rules, we should follow them because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to follow those rules, and not because we think that the right thing. Lefneim, we should always have in front of our mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put those rules in front of us, and we are the ones that are obligated to follow them, even if we don't understand them. Even if we understand them, follow them because Hashem said. We learned in Mishnah, Emes and Tamim Begodim, at what point the Begodim become Tamei, Tanu Rabbanon. The Pasuk says, V'mishalach ha-sasol ha-azazol ha-chavis Begodov. From here we see ha-mishalach, that the person who went with the Azazel, Betamei Begodim. V'en ha-shaleich ha-mishaleich, but anybody who would escort him, they don't have the halacha that the Betamei Begodim. Yotzah, Yoch, we think that this halacha begins, Mishiyetzi chutz l'chayim sa-zara, as soon as they leave the Azara, Tamalayma ha-mishaleich. As soon as that has to leave, yeah, mishaliach. So I would think yochlachi gila tzuk that his begodim don't become tamei until he reaches the mountain. Tameleima veha mishaliach that his begodim already become tamei earlier. Hakeitzad, how do we understand? Mishiyetze chutz Yerushalayim. Once he leaves Yerushalayim, that's when his begodim become tamei. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosheimer. The Pasuk says, Azazel v'kibetz. Since the Torah puts the word v'chibetz next to the word v'azazel, we learn from here that he doesn't become tamei actually gil tzuk until he gets to the mountain. Rav Shemin Omer, v'mishaleich ha-sasol ha-azazel y'chabes begodov, zorka v'bas roishoy, when you throw the animal backwards, at that point, metam begodim, that's when the begodim become tamei. And the Machloikis, as I saw the Miri explains, they both agree, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that he has to get to the mountain. The question is, does he have to finish the procedure of the mountain, or as soon as he starts the procedures on the mountain, do his begodim become tamei?